If you have your Bibles this morning, let's take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Thank you, gentlemen. You know, as you read the words of that song that they just sang, and waiting for the Lord Jesus to come back, if we're going to do what God has called us to do and be the church that God wants us to be, he gives us some guidelines in the Bible of how we're to walk and what we're to do, how we're to act. And so I want to draw your attention to Galatians chapter 5 this morning and as we begin that. But I also want to make an introduction to you today. It's always good to have newlyweds in the congregation. So I'm going to embarrass them this morning. Greg and Kaya McCurry, why don't you all stand up? Give them a hand, would you? Amen. Good to see you two here. And they have survived the first two or three weeks of marriage. And that's good. No, it's great to be able to see them. And you go by and congratulate them. And they're off to a good start in their new home and family. And we pray God's richest blessings will be upon you two as you serve the Lord. Galatians chapter 5 today. I titled the message today, Walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is taken right out of our text here in Galatians chapter 5. And I want to begin reading in verse 16. I think it's so important to understand the Bible gives us pretty clear direction on once we get saved and we come to know Christ and we're born again by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus, what we should do and what we should not do. And we're encouraged to walk in the Lord, to walk in the faith, to walk in the Spirit. And we just spent quite a bit of time in Sunday school today talking about the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity and this very important role that he plays in our life. And so if we're to walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is to be a major part of our daily living. And we're instructed to do exactly that. So let's look at it here in Galatians 5 and in verse 16. This, Paul says, the church of Galatia, this I say then, here it is our title, walk in the Spirit. Let's walk in the Holy Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit now, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, beginning in verse 22, he contrasts that, the works of the flesh, now to the works of the Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit. And remember back in verse 16, he said, we are to walk in the Spirit. And he says here in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vain glory and provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for our salvation today. And Lord, help us to understand the importance that if we're in Christ and in Jesus Christ, saved by the Holy Spirit of God, how important it is that we walk in the Holy Spirit. There's some things that we ought to put off, some things that we ought to avoid. And through that, by walking in the Spirit, then we begin to see evidence and fruit of the Holy Spirit showing up in our lives. And so, God, we thank you for the text here in Galatians. May we apply it to our Christian lives. May we be better servants and faithful to you. May we not follow the ways of the world and the ways of the flesh, but may we follow the ways of the Holy Spirit of God by walking in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. When you look here in Galatians, in this text, really Galatians 5, really Paul opens it up in the beginning of the book, and he really defends his apostleship, that he's the apostle in chapter 1, in chapter 3, in chapter 4. He begins to talk about justification by our faith in Christ. But now when he gets into chapter 5 and chapter 6 of the book of Galatians, he begins to talk about walking in the Lord, walking in Christ, and certain things that we ought to do. There are certain things that we ought to shun, and he makes a clear distinction in the Bible. If we're walking in the flesh, certain things can be evident in our lives that cause us not to be able to walk in the Spirit. So Paul now applies justification by faith to practical Christian living, emphasizing that the right Bible doctrine here should result in the right living. If we take the right kind of living in Christ and obeying the Scriptures, the Word of God, the evidence of that will show up in our Christian lives on a daily basis. So Paul's subject here is really sanctification. And when you look at it in sanctification, you and I, and it's important, we were talking about Bible doctrine in Sunday school this morning. Sanctification is so important. And because when you and I get saved and we're placed in Christ, we're born again as a Bible-believing Christian, you are positionally sanctified and put into the body of Christ. So the Bible really teaches positional sanctification, that you're set apart in Christ. And now we are to walk in Christ. And that's really what you call now progressive or progressing sanctification. So not only just being saved is great, and that's a good beginning point, but it's not the end goal either. We are progressively being sanctified in Christ. I always kind of look at it this way. I am saved and know Christ. I'm positionally in Christ, but I'm also, my salvation is not complete yet. I'm on this journey in life, and I have to deal with the flesh, and I have to deal with the human part of life, and so therefore you're progressively being sanctified in Christ. So Paul now emphasizes the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And that's what we try to get him to see in Sunday school this morning, how important of a role the Holy Spirit plays in our day-to-day living. Were it not for the Holy Spirit, the life of faith that you and I live would be no more spiritually productive or acceptable to God than the life of the law of the Old Testament. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the freedom for which Christ sets us free in verse 1, which he said he does, is the freedom to live a life of righteousness in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God's standard for holiness has never changed. He gives it to us here in the Bible, and through the Holy Spirit, you and I as believers have the ability to live our internal lives also in righteousness. And so as we do that, we are to walk in Christ and to walk in the Lord and to put on shun these certain things off in our life and to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, or allow the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives as Christians. Galatians 5 and Galatians 6, both these chapters here, really portray that Spirit-filled life. It's the believer, it's you and I implementing a life of faith, really under the control and under the energy of the Holy Spirit of God. If it's left up to you and I this week, we will make many mistakes. We'll fall short and we'll miss the mark, and we might even get into trouble that we'll regret and we'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't want to do that, I didn't plan on doing that. But you've been led down the wrong path through the flesh, and so you find that Paul's appeal here for living a Spirit-filled life of freedom rather than reverting back to the works-based bound life of all the legalistic efforts that he talked about here in Scripture. In verse 13, he says here that you've been called to liberty. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So if you think about liberty, men and women and children alike demand more freedom as they do, as they want to have, and in the name of personal rights, authority oftentimes becomes flouted and restrictions are resisted, and so sinful people want to do what's right in their own eyes. This morning I run into, I don't know where he's at now, but I ran into Paul Tacy on the other side, and I said, what are you teaching in your class today? And he was talking about in the book of Judges, and it was interesting. I said, oh, that the part in there, interesting, you get in there, it's where every man kind of wants to do what is right in their own eyes. And you know, it's interesting to see a generation that wants to serve the Lord, there also becomes a fearful of a certain generation that wants to grow up and then go out and kind of do their own thing, be their own person, go their own way, make their own decisions, and not follow what the Lord would have for them. And when you look in Galatians 5 here, Paul makes it clear that freedom is at the very heart of the gospel and godly living. And Jesus Christ is the primary person behind that justification. The law or the Holy Spirit is the primary person behind that sanctification for you and I to be able to walk in the Spirit. You and I as believers can no more sanctify ourselves than we could have saved ourselves in the first place. You and I don't have the ability to bring salvation to ourselves and to have eternal life, nor do we have the ability in the flesh to walk a sanctified life and to keep everything on track. We can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live the Christian life by your own resources any more than you can be saved by your own resources. And so the faithful Christian life is a life lived under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the theme here we look at in this text in Galatians chapter 5 when he says to walk in the Spirit. And I see two things here. Number one is a command. And number two is a conflict. And there's two thoughts I want you to see this morning. The command, the Bible. I always kind of interested in the Bible when it comes along and it says, this you must do. This is a command. This is not an option. This is what we must do if you want to live a godly life in Christ. So there's a command in the Bible. And then right after the command is given, there's a conflict. And we'll see what the conflict is. But let's look at the command here, first of all, in verse 16 is the command. He says, "Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So the key to not walking in the flesh and doing the things of the flesh or falling into the trap of the flesh or the trap of the devil is to walk in the Spirit. And it's a command. So the contrasting theme here is really law and grace. And under the law, no man can perfectly obey all the law. We know that. And the law has never been and never was meant to be a place of salvation. The law in the Bible, the Old Testament law, the law that's been given to man, never was meant to save a person and give them eternal life. Never was designed to do that. The law revealed God's holy standards and to make men despair of their own failing human efforts in pleasing Him, and thus driving us towards Jesus Christ, who alone by grace can make us acceptable unto the Father. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we work at it, to try to live up to the law, to live up to the standards, to live up all to the commands that are given there, becomes very difficult to do. In the flesh, it's impossible to do. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. And so you find here that the Bible study and prayer and worship and witnessing, all those become behavioral standards in the Christian life. And they're commanded. You and I are commanded to worship. We're commanded to study our Bibles. We're commanded to pray. We're commanded to witness and to share our faith and all those things. And they're essential to the faithful Christian living. But should not be used as a measuring stick to decide who's spiritual and who's not. Matter of fact, let me go one step farther. Matter of fact, in the church, we've been given instructions. God does in the Bible through the Word of God. And He says in the Bible, ye which are spiritual, to come along beside and help the church and encourage others and to be able to be an asset in the local New Testament church. I always back away from that and ask the question, well, who is spiritual? Because I've often found out people that I thought maybe are spiritual, maybe are not, and oftentimes the person, if you go and you ask them and you look and see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their life, a person that has the fruit of the Spirit will think themselves not spiritual. Oftentimes, so when you look at it here, it's interesting to see that through this, to use these measuring stick is to become trapped in what we would call legalism or these outward visible appearances. And the Holy Spirit, who alone is able to inwardly produce the works of righteousness. Only the Holy Spirit can change a person from the inside out. God, the Holy Spirit, can take a person, and you know, oftentimes we become more concerned on what's on the outside or what the looks are or what the visible thing is. You know, if you don't worry about that. Let God clean all that up. Let God do all that from the inside out and through the sanctification. And you know, I've watched people that have been alcoholics. I've watched people that have been drug addicts. I've watched people that have been addicted to one thing or another or one sin or another. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them, regenerates them by the power of the gospel, and changes their life, they'll begin to change from the inside out. You try to change them from the outside in, it'll never work. So when you look at sanctification here, the holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. Holy living does not come from our performance for God, but it from His Holy Spirit performance through the Holy Spirit. So all a believer really needs to live a holy life is according to the will of God, is the Holy Spirit whom we're given the moment that we are saved. Let me show you this, Romans chapter 8. The moment you are saved, the moment you come to Christ, the moment you say, I believe, the moment you say, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, regenerates you by the power of God, and you become Holy Spirit baptized in the body of Christ. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. God makes a clear distinction. If you're going to be in the body of Christ, you're going to be part of the work of Christ. You've got to be born into the family of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches two baptisms. It teaches water baptism, but it teaches before water baptism, spirit baptism. You've got to be baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And so when you look at it here, pride and ignorance oftentimes lead believers to live outward signs or outward list of rules or commands or do's or don'ts, but rather we should live by the inner power, inner working of the Holy Spirit of God. Let God change us from the inside out. And God will do a much better job than you and I will ever try to do it from the outside in. The believer is encouraged here to walk then in the Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit. And you know what that literally means? Here's what this means. In verse 16, it means a continuous, regular action, a habitual way of life. For the Christian, to walk in the Spirit should be continuous, should be habitual, should be daily. It should be consistency to that. Walking here implies progress. Going from where one is to where he ought to be. I don't know if you ever looked at your life that way and say, I wonder if I'm progressing. I wonder if I've made progress from this point to this point. You know, one of the privileges I have as a pastor is to be able to see where people were at a year ago and where they're at now a year later, and watch and observing in the body of Christ and watching progression take place. Many of you may not even know this, but go back to be able to say, you're not the same person you are today as you were a year ago. You've changed. And that's what progression, so walking in the Spirit means implies progress. It implies going from where one is one where we need to be and where we ought to be. I know I'm not where I ought to be. I know where my shortcomings and fallings are. I know where I mess up. I know where my mistakes are. I know. And so you continually work in your sanctification, progressively moving you forward to the path where we need to be, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's where we want to be. The goal, the ultimate goal, is to be like Christ, is to have the portrayal of the image. And the Holy Spirit is using you and molding you and shaping you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as the believer, as the born-again Christian submits to the Holy Spirit's power, we move forward in our spiritual life. Step by step, the Holy Spirit moves us from where we need to go towards where God is and where He wants us to be and where He wants us on that path. So no matter what, just don't quit, don't give up, and to walk in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the source of all holy living, but it is the believer who is commanded to walk. You've got to take the journey. You have the source, you have the power source, you have the ability, you don't have the strength within yourself to be able to do it, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you progress and to move you along in that journey in that Christian life. So we find the Holy Spirit becomes a source of all holy living, but it's a believer. You and I got to do the work. We got to take the journey. We got to walk the path. We got to make the progression day by day. So the Christian is not to sit on the sidelines, as it were, and simply watch. You say, well, now that I'm saved, I'm just going to kind of sit here and let the Holy Spirit do all my bidding for me, and I don't want to engage in all that. No, that's not how it works. And so we're commanded to be dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ, refusing to let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Really, if you think about it, humanity, we have a sin problem. Get rid of the sin problem, and a lot of things begin to change. That's why Paul said here in Galatians in chapter 5, it was really in the flesh. If you're going to walk in the flesh, you're going to struggle with this issue of a sin problem. And that's why he says here, you go back to the beginning of this, if you're going to walk in the flesh and lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, there's the battle that goes on, the flesh and the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't know about you, but it really got my attention down there when it says, you know, there's some things you want to do and you don't do. He says here, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You might get up in the day and have the best intentions, the best plan, the best strategy, the best whatever. And if you're not careful, you can get derailed and get sidetracked through the course of a day's events. I remember Dr. Odom used to tell us all the time, any Christian, I don't care who you are, where you come from, what family you're born into, given the right circumstances, the right environment, the right situation, the right place at the right time, can succumb to and fall to any temptation and any sin. No one is excluded from that. So you got to safeguard yourself. If you're going to walk in Christ, you're going to walk in the Holy Spirit, you got to safeguard yourself and allow yourself not to get put in a position of being tempted, drawn into sin, or getting you off the path that you know you're to be walking on. And so when you look at it here in Scripture, walking implies this progress. Go over to Romans chapter 13. You know, as we submit to the Holy Spirit, we move forward in our spiritual life. Read a book one time, I think Chuck Swindoll wrote it, talked about 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Kind of like, don't you feel sometimes in the Christian life like that? You learn some lessons, you take steps forward, and then every once in a while you take a step back. And you say, okay, I got to learn that lesson again. Now you start moving forward again, and then you know, something will come along, and you 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. And that. But when the Holy Spirit becomes the source of our holy living, the Christian is not to sit on the sidelines. And the believer who is led by the Holy Spirit must be willing to go where the Holy Spirit guides him and do what the Holy Spirit leads him to do. We talked about this in Sunday school today. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's a personality. And he'll talk with you. He very much is interested in what you and I do day to day. Romans chapter 13. And it talks about walking again by the Spirit, Romans 13 and verse 14, where Paul said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't give yourself an opportunity. Don't play that Russian roulette game. Don't play that, how close can I get to it before I get burned on it. Don't go down that path. Paul warns right here, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the image of Christ. That comes through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then don't make a provision for the flesh. Don't give your flesh the opportunity to fall into sin. Don't give your desires an opportunity to make the wrong decision. You got to make the right decision and protect yourself and guard yourself at all times. To walk by the Spirit and thereby not carry out the desire of the flesh is the same principle as putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make any provision for the flesh. To walk in the Spirit is to behave properly as in the day. Carrying out the desires of the flesh is to involve yourself, therefore, into sin. So you see the command here in the Bible. The command is very clear. It's not a choice. It's not an option. It's not, well, if you want to walk in the Spirit, we are commanded to walk in the Spirit after we're saved, after we're regenerated by the power of God. What prevents us from doing that? One three-letter word, sin. Sin in some fashion or form gets into our life, and now the conflict starts. Go back to Galatians in our text, Galatians chapter 5. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we're still struggling with a sin issue somewhere in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, got down to verse 17, verse 18, talks about the warring going on, the fighting going on between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be open-minded to the Holy Spirit and His teaching. Walking by the Holy Spirit is not simply a passive surrender. By that, the Spirit-led life is a life oftentimes of conflict, because it is a constant combat with the old ways of the flesh, and these old ways of the flesh tempts us and seduces the believer. I've been a Christian a long time. I got saved when I was 16, and so I've been saved now, almost 50 years. And you know what I found out as you get on this journey of the Christian life? It is a war zone. It is a combat zone. It is a struggle day to day to day to day that you've got to work and to strive, and you've got to make sure you keep the flesh in control. You've got to make sure you walk in the Spirit, and you've got to make sure that you continue to move forward in the cause of Christ. The Spirit-led life here can be a life of conflict, because it is always in combat with its old ways. And that's what Paul was talking about here. The flesh here is really the old man. After one comes to know Christ, this is the part of the believer that awaits future redemption at the time of glorification. Romans chapter 8 talks about that. Waiting for the day, and that's what we're talking about, the soul and the spirit. Yeah, we got saved. But guess what? The body didn't, and the flesh didn't, and we're still in that same body and in that same flesh. So there will be a day of salvation for the flesh, but not yet, not now. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And that'll be the day that we'll be united. And that's the day we no longer struggle in the flesh. And so until then, we have a redeemed self that come to Christ in Galatians 2:20, living in an unredeemed humanness. And that causes a great conflict. Paul knew this also well. Look at it in Romans chapter 7. And you get down to verse 18. For I know that in me, Paul said it this way, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You notice in verse 19 then, for that good which I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is my members. And then he says here, O wretched man that I am. Paul fought the same struggle that you and I do. He was still in the flesh, and he this battle between the flesh and the Spirit of God was constant going on in his life. So until then, Romans 4:1, we says, we are of Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, Jew or Gentile. Abraham is the father of all those that believe. And the flesh, then to be under total control of sinful passions. You and I are to keep the flesh and to be disciplined and have it in submission and have it in control. Look at it in Romans 7, verse 5. Paul said this, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Therein lies the battle. So the flesh needs to be under total control is under total control of these sinful passions. And the flesh as that part of the believer that functions apart from the Holy Spirit of the living God. When you look at it here, the flesh always stands against the Holy Spirit. The Spirit fights against the flesh, and as we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Believers do not always do what they wish to do. The wishing is present, but the doing is not. Did you ever do this? You ever sat in church and on Sunday and you have maybe just, you know, you've had your devotions, you've read your Bible, you have the best intentions, and you look at it and all of a sudden a week will go by and you look back behind you and say, you know what? I had the best intentions. My plan was right. I thought I had everything mapped out. And guess what? It just didn't unfold that way. You got to keep it exactly in check. The Spirit fights the flesh constantly. And believers do not always do that which they wish to do. And the wishing is present, but the doing of it is not. So the Holy Spirit here halts what our flesh desires. That should be our prayer every day. Holy Spirit, whatever it is, just halt whatever it is, the progression that I would make towards that lust, towards that sin, towards that flesh, and let me be in total submission to you. And the flesh then overrides that will come from the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. And so although the Christian life, it really is a battle. It really is a struggle. It really is a conflict. I was reading the other day in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and it's interesting because as Paul gives his instruction to young Timothy, he talks about being in warfare. Now, I don't know about you, but the average Christian, the day I came and got saved and come to Christ, if they said, welcome, put your name on the list, you just signed up for warfare duty. You know, that kind of make you think this thing through, like, well, I want to be a Christian. I want to have eternal life. I want to have salvation. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. But I didn't know I was going to sign up for conflict and for warfare and for battle zones and for this struggle in the Christian life, but yet we do. So Paul gave some good instructions to young Timothy over there about being entered into this warfare. And so although the Christian life is a warfare, it is a warfare in which victory is possible. The most effective way for the Christian to oppose the desires and needs of the flesh is to starve them to death. By that meaning, if you have a weakness towards alcohol or whatever it is, well, don't social drink. Whatever, you know, if you have a weakness towards sexuality or whatever and getting you off track in the area of going towards adultery or fornication or whatever, well, but by all means, safeguard yourself and don't allow yourself to get in that kind of environment. If you have another situation or whatever it is in your life, you've got to take the steps to safeguard yourself. And so the most effective way for the Christian to oppose the desires and the deeds of the flesh is to starve them to death. And or in other words, Paul put it this way, make no provision for the flesh. Don't make any possible way you can fall into that, Romans 13. And so the surest way to fall into sin is to allow oneself to be in situations where the temptation is there to do it and do it again. Safeguard yourself. Control your situations. Control your environment. They have temptations in them. Matthew 6 and verse 3, remember what it said in the Sermon on the Mount? Lead us not into temptation. Take the precautionary steps. Be active in resisting evil and seeking to do good will put you in a position of being led by the Holy Spirit. How do you know when you're being led by the Holy Spirit? How do you know when you're walking in Christ? When you make no provision for the flesh. But you know what? Sin can be very attractive. Sin, it can be very inviting. And sin, you think you might be able to play with fire and get as close to it as you can and not get burned. But I'll tell you what, sin always leaves its mark and always will leave the residue of what it's doing in a person's life. And so when you think about it here, we got to try to control those situations. So Paul here encourages Christians to run like an athlete, to be in control, to exercise that self-control. Let me show you this. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Be in control of your Christian life. Just don't let it run to the wind. Just don't let it go do its own thing. You let it go do its own thing, you're going to lead you right down the primrose path to trouble. Walking in Christ means you got to take progressive steps. You got to engage in this battle, in this warfare. Paul put it this way in verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Paul says here, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Did you ever do this? Did you ever have something happen? And maybe you know some dear brother, some dear sister, or whatever, and all of a sudden you get news or hear something from somewhere that so-and-so has gone away from the Lord. They're no longer in church. They're no longer in their Bible. They're off doing this, and they got pulled into the world or the flesh or some sin or whatever, and it has completely derailed them. Sad news for sure. You got to take action. A believer can accomplish nothing for the Lord in his own power. And also the Holy Spirit can accomplish little without the believer's submission and commitment to the Holy Spirit of God. So walking in Christ means submitting to the Holy Spirit, committing to the Holy Spirit, and then abstaining and staying away from any trap or any snare that can pull us away from that. You know what it is? It's a balance of our yieldedness and our commitment with the Holy Spirit's guidance and power. Paul talked about that over in Philippians 2:2. And so to be led by the Spirit is the same as walking by Him, and carries the emphasis of His leadership. He'll lead us, He'll guide us, He'll direct us, but we got to submit to the Holy Spirit's power day by day. We follow His leading as our sovereign divine guide. You do not need to pray. Think about this. We really don't even need to pray for the Holy Spirit's leading because He's already doing that. You know what stops the Holy Spirit's leading and directing in our lives? When we let sin in the back door and we let things come into our lives and we let the flesh get control, now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's not leading no more. We're not walking in Christ no more. And we just need to seek for willingness and obedience to follow His leading. When Christ enters into a person's life, the Holy Spirit enters at the same time. We read that over in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And so when the Holy Spirit enters you and I at salvation, here's what you get. He leads us to freedom. He leads us to holiness. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, into fruitfulness, and to access to God through prayer. He leads us into assurance and to be able to witness and have the joy of our salvation. You know, when you think about it, the picture of the Holy Spirit, I read this illustration once, I thought it was so true. Picture it this way. Picture the Holy Spirit putting apples in our basket as we stand under an apple tree. And then the farther you begin to stray from the apple tree, and you're moving away from it, from the tree, it's impossible to put the apples in the basket. So get that visual in your mind. You got this apple tree, and as long as you got the basket and you're under the apple tree, and you get the basket and you can get the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, when you move away from that through sin or through other things in your life, there is no way the Holy Spirit's going to fill your basket. We got to deal with the sin issue. If we control the flesh, the Holy Spirit fills our lives. If we control the flesh, if you want the power and leading of the Holy Spirit of God, we got to get rid of, you got to stay under the apple tree. You got to stay where the basket, you got to stay in a position where the Holy Spirit of God can fill your life and dump His blessings in there. But I tell you what, if you allow any room in there for sin and provision for the flesh and weaknesses and things in the flesh, you're not going to have the filling and the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as a Christian. So we have a command here in the Bible. And the command, very simply, is to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, as a believer, my friend, it's just not good enough to be saved. But after we're saved, now we are to walk in Christ, submitting ourselves to Him. And through that, the Holy Spirit's power will allow you and I to be able to do that. So let me ask you today, who have you submitted to? Who have you given? And you know what? Sometimes I see it. It's really hard to sit on the sideline. And because sin can be so enticing, And you watch somebody and you know if they would just give up that sin, they could have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and God's blessings on their life, but they want to hang on to that one sin or whatever it is that's hindering their life. My friend, if you know what that is, get rid of it. Run away from it. But the Bible says don't make any provision. Make no provision for the flesh is weak. It'll rob you of walking in Christ. It'll rob you of God's power and God's blessings in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. And God, we pray today that we as believers in Christ would walk in the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit. So God, I would pray today that even we as a church and a church body, if we have sin, if we have known sin in our hearts and in our lives today, there's no way we can walk in Christ. There's no way we can walk with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So God, today, help us to examine ourselves. Help us to make what the Bible talks about, no provision for the flesh. If we make a provision for the flesh, we will succumb to that and give in to that, and therefore we will not be walking in the Spirit of God. We will not have Your blessings. We'll not have Your power in our lives. So Holy Spirit, convict us of our sin. Draw us to Jesus Christ. Help us to be the best that we can be. And God, we pray today, if there's one here that's not saved, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they've not yet made that commitment of faith, of repentance in Christ. God, help them to understand today that we're all sinners. The Bible's very clear, there's none righteous, no, not one, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that, God, we cannot save ourselves, but we must come and confess our sin and repent of our sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him for our eternal salvation. So God, I pray today, if there's one here that's lost, they don't know You as their Savior today, I pray they would come and open their heart to Jesus Christ and confess You as Savior and Lord. And then God, help us to walk in Christ. Help us today, God, to make no provision for the flesh. Because if we do, the flesh is weak and we will never have the presence and power of God in our lives. Because to have that presence and have that power, there's no room for lust and sin and all the things that steal that power away. So God, help us to stay under Your presence, under Your leading, upon Your leadership and power of the Holy Spirit today, and fill our cup, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together today, and if the altar were open, if you want to come to pray, you're welcome to come. If you're here, my friend, and you're not a Christian, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Turn to Him for salvation. I encourage you today to walk in Christ, to have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit.
The greatest thing in all my life is knowing You. The greatest thing to know You, oh. I hear the Savior say, thy strength in me is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I like that. Sin leaves its mark, amen? But the blood of Christ washes that away, gives you and I a clean slate. And thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for his saving grace. Thank God. God always wants us to come back to him, to walk with him, fellowship with him. No matter where we've been on our journey in life, my friend, is to walk in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be seated just for a moment. And we're going to have prayer and let you go. But just a couple things to announce. One is, we'd ask you to pray for the Dukeson family. I've already shared that with you. Also, prayer request to pray for Austin and Haley, who just also got married. They're not in the sanctuary today. Pray for them the next 16 weeks. Austin goes through the police academy, and that starts on Monday, so pray for him as he makes that journey through that. Then, if you would, we want to encourage you to go by. There's sign-ups now beginning for Vacation Bible School. That's on August the 14th to the 18th. And we're going to need help. You're going to need help for that. So go by. If you have questions, see Pastor Bobby, but go by the Welcome Center or the sign-up sheet. If you can help us in Bible school that week, there's many hands make for light work. And so if you can just help us at least with one thing, that would be great. So we always look forward to VBS, and that's just around the corner. And then also, if you would, the Lord's Supper will be tonight at 6 o'clock. I want to encourage you to be back tonight as we serve that. We only do that about every 6 to 8 weeks, so we'll serve the Lord's Supper this evening. And that was something else I had. Oh, I know what it was. And that just next year on the 1st of June, we're going to, the Booth brothers are going to come back to our church. And we had enough money left over to, I think about 2/3 of it covered for their deposit for next year. And but over the next couple of weeks, we wanted to pre-sell a few of the artist seating tickets. So if you have a question about that, if you see Bunny, here you are, she's back here, Bunny, and raise your hand there so they know where she's at. And that's the lady with the sunburn. And I'm picking on you. But anyway, so we can get that locked up. We have to mail a deposit on that. I think we got about 2/3 of the money together to send that deposit in. So we just wanted to pre-sell a few of the artist seating tickets to be able to cover that deposit and get that mailed in. And then also, too, this year, let me just say a word about our missions conference. We're going to do it a little bit different this year. Our missions conference, normally we've had it like on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, International Supper, Sunday. We're going to change the format of it a little bit different this year. So we're going to do the mission conference, Faith Promise Missions, but we're going to do it on Sunday, September the 17th, and on Sunday, September the 24th, with Faith Promise Mission Sunday being on September the 24th. So we'll have one missionary family on Sunday morning with us on September 17th, one missionary family with us on Sunday night on the 17th, then another missionary family with us on Sunday morning the 24th. And then we're going to do our International Supper that day right after the morning service on the 24th. And there'll be more about that coming up on the meals this year. We have a missionary to England, missionary to Palau, and missionary to Brazil. So we got three missionary families that'll be coming for our Faith Promise missions this year. So continue to pray for our Faith Promise missions and missionary families as they serve. And we thought we'd try that format of it this year and see how that goes. We're not going to bring in an outside speaker. All the focus will be on the missionary families. Matter of fact, Bunny gave me a note that says she's been in contact with the missionaries that's coming, and we do the gifts for what they request for the missionaries to be able to help them in their personal fund or work fund or whatever, and those are put out on the table. Are those out today? And they are out today. So if you'd like to get a card and that to be able to help with a gift, I think they put those down in denominations of, what, 25? I don't know. From 20 on up to 50. So there's mission cards out there. If you'd like to get yours now and get it early, it's just things that you can purchase that the missionaries has let Bunny know that they could use or would be a help or a blessing to their ministry, and we can get those ready for mission conference. The deadline on turning that in is September the 10th, correct? September the 10th. So if you take a card today, you got a little bit of time to take it and shop for whatever's on there or get the money set aside for that to be a help and a blessing to our missionaries. Missionaries that are coming this year are three new missionary families just getting started to be able to get out and go to the field. And that I get contacts all the time from veteran missionaries. We try to have some in here periodically. If we could have one 52 weeks out of the year. And I love it. I love having missionaries in. But we're going to focus on three new missionary families this year for our Faith Promise Missions Conference. I got another missionary family that's contacting us, wants to be able to come but can't come during the conference, and we'll get something worked out for them to be able to come by. Let's stand together, and good to see you in the Lord's house today, and I encourage you to be back tonight for the Lord's Supper, and to continue to pray for Brother Al Dyer, if you would, there in the hospital. I know he'd appreciate your prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. Thank you for the message here in Galatians chapter 5 that Paul left us, the clear instructions on walking in Christ. So God, may this week as we go about our travels, may we make no provision for the flesh. May we resist that. May we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, may your blessings be upon our individual lives as we reach out to be a witness and a testimony to those around us. And so God, just thank you for the Lord's Day today. Thank you for the music. Thank you for your blessings. And just thank you for the opportunity to serve you today. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.